The Yeshiva Gedolah of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Perek Beis Pasuk Hei, Ish Yehudi Hoya B'Shushan Abira. There was an issue with a Yehudi. Was Bishushan Abira, Ushmoy Mordechai ben Yoir ben Shimi ben Kish Ishimini. And his name was Mordechai, the son of Yoir, the son of Shimi, the son of Kish Ishimini. And he was a person from Yimini, which means that he was from the tribe of Binyamin. The Gemara brings in Masechet Megillah, and Yud Beis Amud Beis. Kori le Yehudi, Alma mi Yehuda kosi, v'kori le Yemini, Alma mi Binyamin kosi. First it states Ish Yehudi, which means that he was from the tribe of Yehuda. Then it says at the end of the Pasuk, Ish Yemini, which means that he was from the tribe of Binyamin. So the Gemara gives various answers. One answer is Omar Abba Babachan, Omar Bishua ben Levi, Ovi mi Binyamin, vi ima mi Yehuda. His father was from Binyamin, and his mother was from Yehuda. In other words, he was from both Shvatim. But Rabbanan Amri, and the Rabbanan say, Mishpoches Mizgara Izubizu, that the different Shvatim, the different tribes, were quarreling with each other. Yehuda Imeres Ano Gorim Nimisalin Mordechai. The Lekatle David Lishimi Ben Gero. Yehuda took credit for Mordechai because in the earlier generations, David HaMelech did not kill Shimi Ben Gero. Shimi Ben Gero was an enemy of David HaMelech and he was deserving of death, and David didn't kill him. And from Shimi Ben Gero eventually came Mordechai, and David was from Yehuda. So the Mishpocha, the family of Yehuda, claims credit for Mordechai because we didn't kill Shimi Ben Gero, his ancestor. U'mishpachas Binyamin omro minoi koasi. And the family of Binyamin says, no, we take credit because he came from us. He was Yemini. Rabbi Yechanan Omar, Rabbi Yechanan says, La'ela mi Binyamin ko'osi. He came from Binyamin. V'amai kori le'Yehudi. Why was he called Yehudi? Al shum shekofar ba'aved zora. Shekara kefer ba'aved zora nikra Yehudi. Because he openly denied idolatry. He wouldn't bow to Haman. And the reason was because Haman made himself into a god. And he denied this. So since he openly denied Avedah Zorah, therefore he was called Yehudi. Shekol HaKefer BaAvedah Zorah Nikra Yehudi. Whoever denies Avedah Zorah is called Yehudi. Kidiksiv Asi Guvrin Yehudain Delei Palchin LaAvedah Zorah. That there were Yehudim that came that would not serve idolatry. The Medrash adds to this, V'rabim Me'ame Oretz Mishadim. Many of the nations became Jews. Those that deny idolatry and they give oneness to the name of the Almighty are called Yehudim. So we see that the Gemara is concerned with Mordechai. He was called Ish Yehudi from the tribe of Yehuda and Ish Yemini from the tribe of Binyamin. And we quoted here three answers to that. Either he was from both tribes, his father was from Binyamin and his mother was from Yehuda, or both families took credit for him. Binyamin took credit because he was born from Binyamin, and Yehuda took credit for him because David didn't kill his ancestor, and even though he should have, and therefore he was born. Or he was from Binyamin, But since he was kefir b'aveir zori, he denied idolatry openly. Therefore, nikra Yehudi, he was called Yehudi. So we see that Mordechai and Esther came from two sources, from Binyamin and Yehuda. And they were very, very great people. States Ish Yehudi, and the Medrash brings Shokul Kimesha Bedeire. He was like a Meshe Rabbeinu in his generation. Or Shokul Ki Avram Bedeire. He was like an Avram Avinu in his generation. So we're dealing here with very, very great people who, through them, came this great miracle to Klal Yisrael. In order to understand this, that the Gemara is telling us, that they had come from both sources. They had two sources in themselves, both Yehuda and Binyamin. First, we have to understand Binyamin. Binyamin, who was the last of the sons of Yaakov, of the 12 Shvatim, and he was the second son from Rachel. We find a very, very close connection, many close ties between Binyamin and his older brother Yosef. Firstly, it was those two that were the sons of Rachel. She had only these two sons. Secondly, in Parshas Vayetze, when Yosef was born, this was the first son to Rachel. This is in Bereishis Lamed, Pasuch Chav Gimel and Chav Dalet. Vatikra Shmei Yosef Leimor Yosef Hashem Li Bein Acher. Rachel called her son Yosef. Yosef means to add. And she said, Yosef Hashem Li Bein Acher, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will add, will bring me another son. So we see that Yosef, in his name, the word Yosef means to add. His name indicated that another son would come to Rachel, and that was Binyamin. So in Yosef's name, there was already a tie of Binyamin. Then we learn in Parshas Miketz, that's Bereishis Mem Gimel, Pasuk of Tesen Lamed, when they were reunited, Yosef and Binyamin, the Torah tells us, Vayisa Eino Vayares Binyamin Ochiv Ben Imai, and Yosef lifted his eyes and he saw Binyamin, the brother, his brother, the son of his mother. And he said, are you my small brother, my younger brother? He said, is this the younger brother which they have told me about? And he blessed Binyamin. And Yosef wanted to weep. Rashi brings, why did Yosef want to weep? Sholo yesh le'ach me'ein. He asked Binyamin, do you have a brother from your mother? Omalei ach hoyoli ben yodea heichen hu. I had a brother and I do not know where he is. Yesh le'cho boni. He asked Binyamin, do you have children? Omalei yesh le'asora. I have 10 sons. Omalei mashmom. He said, what are their names? Omalei, Bela, Bechar, and so forth. He mentioned all of the names of his sons. And they were very strange names. Omalei, Mativin, Shalshemus, Alolo. He asked him, what are the names? What do these names mean? Omalei, kulam al shem ochi v'hatzores asher mitzo'uhu. All of the names of my sons are all given for my brother, my older brother Yosef, and on the tzores that he had to, that he has been going through since he was lost. And then he explains what all of these names mean. So we see that Binyamin, who had 10 sons, named all of his sons after Yosef. In Yosef's name was indicated the birth of Binyamin, and in Binyamin's sons were indicated the life of Yosef. The Gemara elaborates a little further on this. Gemara in Masechet Seiter, and Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, the Gemara brings Tanya Hayare Yosef Lotzeis Mimenu Yud Beishvotim Kederech Shiyotsu Miyakov Aviv. Yosef was the greatest of all of the sons. So great he was that in reality he could have given birth to the 12 Shvotim, to 12 sons also, just like Yaakov Aviv. Shenemar, as it states, Elu Toldis Yaakov Yosef, that the generations of Yaakov were Yosef. All of the 12 sons that Yaakov gave birth to, Yosef also had the potential to give birth to another 12 sons equal to these. Ela shiyotze shifazar mi bein tzipone yodov, but because of the episode with the wife of Potiphar, when he was ensnared by her and enticed by her, and even though he did not submit to the temptation, but still there was a slight imperfection there. He was tempted for a temporary period, and because of this, this harmed Yosef. This harmed the perfection of Yosef, to the point where he was capable of only giving birth to two of these 12 sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. What happened to the other 10? V'achal pikein yotzu mi binyamin ochi. The other 10 were born from his brother Binyamin. V'kula nikra shmei, and therefore all of the 10 sons of Binyamin were called by the name of Yosef. This means that the potential to give birth to the 12 Shvatim were by Yosef also, but he couldn't carry it out. But it was carried out by his brother Binyamin. Therefore he gave birth to 2, and Binyamin gave birth to 10. And because these 10 were born with a potential from Yosef, from the keach of Yosef, therefore Binyamin called them all after Yosef. What were their names? So the Gemara brings Bela Shenivla Beino Umes. Bela, because Yosef was swallowed up amongst the nations. Bechar Bechor Le'imai, he was the first born to his mother. Ashbel Sheshavu Kil, he was captured. Gero Shegobach Sanyos, he was called Gero because he lived in different places. Naamon Shenoim BeYeser, one was called Naamon because Yosef was so beautiful. Ochi Vereishi Ochihu Vereishihu, one was called Ochi and one was called Roshi. He was my brother and he was the head. Mupin v'chumpin. Hulei ro b'chuposi v'anilei ro'isi b'chuposi. I did not see his chupa and he did not see my chupa. Pa'ered shiyora lebeinu umay seilum. that he was lost and he went down between the nations of the world. That his face was like as beautiful as a rose. So Binyamin therefore called all of these sons on the name of Yosef. So there's another place where we find that the bond between Yosef and Binyamin was very strong. We find also that in particular amongst all of the Shvatim, the Shechina, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rested in particular on Yosef and Binyamin. In Parshas Vayigash, Memhei Yudalid, it's in Parshas Vayeshev. Parshas Vayeshev, Lametes, Posuk Beis. Vayhi Hashem es Yosef. Vayhi Ish Matzliach. Hashem was with Yosef. This is when he went down to Mitzrayim, and he was amongst, he was a slave. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with Yosef, and he was very successful. Vayhi Beveis Adonav HaMitzri. Vayar Adonav Ki Hashem Itoy. And his master saw that Hashem was with him. V'chol asher hu eisa Hashem atzlich biyodei. And all that he did, Hashem gave him success. So forth. V'ayvorech Hashem es beis ha-mitzri b'chlal Yosef. And Hashem blessed the house of the Egyptian because of Yosef. V'ayhi birkas Hashem b'chol asher yesh le'babayis u'basodeh. And the blessings of Hashem was on all that he had in the house and in the field. So we see that the Shechina was consistently with Yosef. And because of this, he was known as the Baal Brocho. Whatever he touched became blessed. We see also that the Shechina was very close to Binyamin. It's brought in the Brochas of Parshas Vayechi, the blessing which Yaakov Avinu gave to Binyamin. This is in Bereishis Memtes, Posuk Chof Zayin. Not in these brochas, but in the brochas of Zeisa Brocho, in the brochas that Meshe Rabbeinu gave to Binyamin. This is in Devarim, Lamed Gimel Yud Beis, LeBinyamin Omar Yedid Hashem Yishkain LeVetech Olov, to Binyamin, who is known as the beloved of Hashem, because Hashem was close to him. Yishkain LeVetech Olov Chayfif Olov Kol Hayomim Uvein Kseif Of Shochein. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should dwell by Binyamin. All of the time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be with Binyamin, and between his shoulders he shall dwell. And this refers in particular, Rashi brings, the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. It refers to the building of the Beis HaMikdash Bechelkei, which was in the territory of Binyamin. Le'elom mishenivchar Yerushalayim le'shor seshchina b'mokam acher. Kol hayayim, all of the time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should dwell by Binyamin. From the time that Yerushalayim was chosen, the Shechina has never chosen another place to dwell. Yerushalayim, this area of Yerushalayim was in the territory of Binyamin. Ubein Kseif of Shochein, Begeva Atzei Hoya Beis HaMikdash Bonoi. Near the highest point of his land was the Beis HaMikdash built. Elishenomuch Esrim Vishlesh Amo. Except it was a little lower, Ubein Kseif of, not at his head, but by the shoulders. Immediately after the bracha of Binyamin, Moshe gave a bracha to Yosef. Uliyasif Vamar Meverechas Hashem Atzoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless his land. So Rashi brings the bracha to Binyamin went first, even though Binyamin was younger, because in his territory was the Beis HaMikdash. But immediately after was the bracha for Yosef. Sha'afu Mishkon Shiloh Hayaboni Bechelkei. Because the Mishkan Shiloh, the sanctuary, was stayed in one place for the longest time in Eretz Yisrael in Shiloh. Now, this was in the territory of Yosef. So therefore, this bracha was given immediately after Binyamin's. So we see the Beis HaMikdash was in the territory of Binyamin, and the Mishkan Shiloh was in the territory of Yosef. And this was not mere coincidence. Because the Beis HaMikdash in the Mishkan, this represented Shechina, V'shachamti B'seicha, that I may dwell amongst you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu found that he wanted to dwell in the territory of Binyamin and Yosef more than any other territory. Therefore the Beis HaMikdash was in Binyamin, who was called Yedid Hashem, the beloved of Hashem, where being safe of Shochein, he shall dwell between his shoulders. And the Mishkan Shiloh was in the territory of Yosef. And the Gemara brings in Masechta Seita, and Rashi brings it in Chumash, that when Yosef finally revealed himself to his brother Binyamin, this is in Parshas Vayigash, Posuk Memhei, Posuk Yudalit. Vayipol al Tzavrei Binyamin Ochi Vayevk. Excuse me, this is the Gemara in Megillah. Vayipol al Tzavrei Binyamin Ochi Vayevk. He wept on the necks of Binyamin, his brother. Binyamin Boch al Tzavorov. And Binyamin wept on his neck. So the Gemara asks, why does it say that when Yosef wept on the neck of Binyamin, it uses the plural language, tzavrei. He wept on both necks. How many necks did he have? And when Binyamin wept on the neck of Yosef, there it uses a singular. So the Gemara brings, Rashi quotes, al shnei migdoshei sha'asidi niyois b'chelke shel Binyamin v'seif lechorev, that Yosef wept on the neck of Binyamin, because he foresaw through prophecy that both Bote Migdoshes, both temples which were to be built in the territory of Binyamin would be destroyed. That's why it uses the plural of necks. Ubinyamin Bochal Tzavorov, and Binyamin saw in prophecy that Mishkon Shila Shosilyos Bechel Kashiyasif, Vesef Elechorev, that the Mishkon of Shila that would be built in the territory of Yosef would eventually be destroyed, and therefore he wept. And the reason, one of the reasons why the Shechina chose the territory of Binyamin and Yosef is because these were the children of Rochel. And the sages tell us that the Shechina dwells between a man and his wife. There is the Ik of Shechina, the strongest Shechina. And Yaakov, Rachel was Eshes Yaakov. Rachel was the main wife, the Akeres Abayis of Yaakov. Therefore, between Yaakov and Rachel was the strongest Shechina. And it went to their children, to Yosef and Binyamin. And we also find that in the Degolim, that the camp of Klal Yisrael was divided up into four major sections, each in a different direction. And the section which was on the west side, Marov, was Degel Machne Ephraim, and that was Ephraim, Menashe, Binyamin. That was Yosef and Binyamin. And the west represents the Shekhinah, because as you walked from the east to the west, it became more Kodesh as you walked in Yerushalayim and in the Beis Hamikdash. And therefore their Degel, their campsite, was on the west. So when we say that one of the sources for the greatness of Mordechai and Esther came from Binyamin, in order to understand this properly, this means both the keches, the powers of Binyamin and Yosef, since those two were so closely intertwined. And we see this point, because in Parshas Vayigash, in Mem Vov Chof Beis, it states, excuse me, it's Mem Hei Chof Beis. Yosef gave gifts to all of his brothers when he was reunited with them. Lechulam nosan liish chalifes somoleis. To all of them he gave them garments. Ulevinyamin nosan shleish meyais kesev vechomesh chalifes somoleis. And to Binyamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 chalifes somoleis. 5 different garments. And the Gemara brings in Masechta Megillah and Tezayin Amud Beis, why did he give Binyamin 5 garments? So the Gemara says, because in the Megillah it states, Mordechai yotze belevush malchus. Mordechai went out in levush malchus, in garments of a king. And there it lists 5 royal garments he wore. That after the Hatzolah, after Mordechai was made Mishneh LeMelech, so it states that Mordechai went out belevush malchus. And it lists 5 royal garments that Mordechai wore. So the Gemara says, Ramas Lei. Yosef was indicating to Binyamin, Shoosid ben lotzeish mimenu, shiyetze milifnei hamelech bechamisha levushei malchus. That you will have a son that will come from you, who will be a great king, and he will go out in 5 royal garments. Therefore, chamisha smolish, I am giving you 5 garments. Actually, the Gemara means a little deeper. It means he was imparting from himself, from his kingship. Yosef was a king. He was imparting from his kingship a power to Binyamin, that Binyamin also would have this kingship. And this would manifest itself in his seed Mordechai, that would go out with 5 royal garments. So this is what is meant, Ish Mini, that Mordechai came from Binyamin, and he drew his source from Binyamin, who was intertwined with Yosef. And through this, he became the great Mordechai. And together with Esther, that would execute this great miracle in Yeshua and salvation to Klal Yisrael. This was Ish Yemini. Now, what does it mean that he also drew from Yehuda? What was the difference between Yehuda and between Yosef? The Gemara brings in Masechta Sota and Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis. Om Rabbi Yitzchok. Rabbi Yitzchok says, Yosef Aysif Alei Ais Achas. Shenemar Eidos BeYosef BeYosef Shmoi BeTzeis Al Eretz Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu added one letter to Yosef's name. In Tehillim Pei Aleph, it states, Eidos BeYosef Shmoi BeTzeis Al Eretz Mitzrayim. When he went as a king over Egypt, he was called Yehosef. HaKadosh Baruch Hu referred to him as Yehosef, not Yosef. He added a hey. So one letter was added into the name of Yosef. Then the Gemara brings, Omer Rav Chana Bar Bizno, Omer Rav Shimon Chasido. Yosef Shikidu Shem Shemaim B'Seser Hesifa Elov Eisachas Mishmei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yosef, who sanctified Hashem's name secretly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu repaid him and gave him an extra letter from his own name and put it into his name. Yehuda Shekidus Shem Shemayim V'far Heshya, Yehuda that sanctified HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name publicly, Nikra Kulal Shmei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him his entire name. Yehuda is the Yud and the Hey, Dalet Vav Hey. So the Yud and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey of Yehuda are the letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We find Yehuda, his whole name, possesses the entire name of Hashem. So Mahi, what does this mean? So the Gemara brings the episode of when Yosef was enticed by the wife of Potiphar, and he almost yielded to the temptation, and he came to the house on the day when no one else was in the house, and then Ra'at Surasei Shel Yaakov Avinu, he saw the image of his father, and his father told him that there's going to be a time when all of these 12 sons will be engraved on the stones of the Kei Godel of the high priest. And do you want that your name should be erased from there? And Yosef, overpowered this great temptation, and he ran from the house. And this was the Kiddush Shem Shamayim B'Seser. He sanctified HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name secretly, because no one knew of this, except the wife of Potiphar. Because he sanctified the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Seser secretly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him one letter of his name, Yehosef. What was the story with Yehuda? So the Gemara brings, Sanyo, Kishon di Yisrael Aliyom, when Klal Yisrael came to the sea, and Egypt was coming from behind them, in the desert, they were locked in from the desert on both sides, and in front of them was the raging sea, Omale Rabbi Yehuda, like, this Shevet said that I will not go in first, and the other Shevet said I will not go in first. Kofetz Nachshon ben Aminodov. So Nachshon ben Aminodov jumped in. V'yored liyam tchila. He jumped into the sea, and he shouted out, Hashem Yimloch Le'ailam Vo'ed, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should reign forever and ever. He was Kiddush Shem Shemayim Befar Hesha. He sanctified the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu publicly, Le'enei Kol, in the presence of everyone. And therefore, his name beholds all of the letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. The Yud in the Hey and the Vav in the Hey. And Lefichoch Zoche Yehuda La'aseis Memshalem Yisrael. And through this, Yehuda was Zeche, merited to become a king in Israel. Shenemar Hoyso Yehuda Lekotcho Yisrael Mamshalesov. Matam Hoyso Yehuda Lekotcho Yisrael Mamshalesov. Mishum Da Yom Ro Vayonos. That Yehuda, Hoyso Yehuda Lekotcho Yisrael Mamshalesov Yehuda Shiniskadesh Limshal Bahen. That Yehuda was sanctified to reign over Israel. So we see here that there is a distinction between Yosef and Yehuda. Yosef was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim Bitzino. He sanctified Hashem's name privately. He was given one letter. And Yehuda sanctified Hashem's name publicly. And he was given all the letters of Hashem's name. Now what is the explanation? The Maral explains the power of Yosef was that to do things in a secret way, to do things in a quiet way, not publicly. For example, we find the Gemara brings in the same place in Masechta Seita that by Yosef was Leisholta Bo Inu Bisho. The Ein Hora, the evil eye, had no power over Yosef. It states by Yidgul Erev, the brocha that was given to the children of Yosef, by Yidgul Erev, that they should multiply by the, like the fish of the sea. Madogim, why do fish of the sea multiply in such tremendous numbers? Because Shemachusa Mina Ayin. Because they are concealed from the eye. You don't see them. So the bracha that was given to Yosef and his seed was they should multiply like the fish of the sea, and they became a great multitude amongst the tribes. The evil eye has no power over them. And we find all the time Yosef was Ben Poris. He was the son of Chayin, the son of beauty. Anyone who looked at him only saw good, they didn't see evil. And he was the Bal Brocha, everything flourished under his hands. Evil eye had no power. And why was this? This was because of his Keach HaTznius. He was a Tzonua. He was a very private, secretive person by nature. And therefore the evil eye had no power. This he inherited from his mother Rochel. Rochel also was like this. The Gemara brings this in Megillah, in the Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Gemara says, "Bishar snius shohayis v'bob Rochel." The reward of the great modesty and privacy and secrecy that Rachel had, Zochsa v'yotze mimena Shaul. From her, she was able to have a king, Shaul, King Saul. Ubishar sniya shohaya baby Shaul. And Shaul HaMelech also had this great secrecy. Zochsa v'yotze mimena Esther. From him came Esther. Umat sniya shohaya baby Rachel. Where do we see that Rachel was so secretive? The Siva Yagid Yaakov La Rachel Kiyochi Avihu. So the Gemara brings the case where when it came time for Rachel to go to the chuppah with Yaakov, and instead Lavan, instead of taking Rachel, his youngest daughter that was promised, he took Leah, the older daughter, and gave her to Yaakov. Rachel did not reveal this to Yaakov. She wouldn't say anything. She could have told him. She wouldn't say anything. Because she didn't want her sister Leah to be humiliated. So she kept this secret. And someone who's capable of keeping a secret, especially under tremendous pressure to reveal it. Here there was tremendous pressure because she was to be married to Yaakov. And instead, through the Ramos, through the treachery of her father, so her father was interchanging, was exchanging Leah for her. She was losing her husband. There was tremendous pressure on her to reveal this. But since she was set as Sonua, her privacy and her secrecy of her nature was so strong, she wouldn't reveal it. Because of that, she was Eicha, that from her should come Shaul HaMelech, King Saul. And what was the great snius, the great secrecy in Shaul? Tiksiv eis dvar ha-melucha le-higid le-yasher ha-mashmul. Shaul was sent by his father to go find some lost donkeys. And they went and they searched and they went up into the mountains, in the valleys and so forth. They came to the city of Shmuel. Shmuel was the chazer, the prophet. So they decided, we'll go ask Shmuel, maybe he knows where the donkeys are. While they were there, they spent a day or two with Shmuel. So Shmuel told, he said, don't worry about the donkeys. We have more important business to talk about. And Shmuel told him he was going to become the king of Israel. Shaul would become the first king. Then he told them where to find the donkeys. When Shaul went back to his father's house and his father asked him, what happened? Why have you been gone so long? And so forth. He told them everything that happened about the donkeys. But the fact that Shmuel had prophesied that he will become the king of Israel, this he didn't say. This he didn't say. He was too much of a tzanua. He was secretive. He kept it to himself. He was humble. This was the tznius of Shaul. What was the great tznius of Esther that also came from them? She would not tell Es Amo Ves Malarto. She would not reveal to Ahasuerus who she was. Because Mordechai commanded her not to reveal. He was hoping that Ahasuerus would reject her and send her home. Had he known that she had come from the family of Shaul, if she was a Jew, and he might have did some research, some exploration, and find out that she had come from the family of Shaul, and she was a Bas Malochim, she was from royalty, then certainly he would have kept her. So therefore Mordechai commanded her under no circumstances should she reveal who she is. Now this is against the nature, because Ahasuerus did everything in his power to try to get her to reveal. He wanted to know who she was. He made big banquets for her, and he gave off taxes to all of the people. And the Gemara tells this was all in order to try to persuade Esther to tell him who she was, promised her jewelry and whatnot. And she had what to tell. Lehigido. She wouldn't say yes, Amo ves Malarato, who her nation was and who her family was, because of the great Keach HaTznius, the great secrecy that was in her. So we find that Rachel had this secrecy, and Binyamin inherited it, and Yosef. And this was Yosef's nature. And we see, if we examine Yosef's life, we find it was all Derech Seser. It was all a secretive type of life. For example, his brothers never recognized his true greatness. They didn't recognize his true greatness. Had they recognized his true greatness, they wouldn't have done to him what they did. He was an Easter. He was unknown to them. When he went down to Egypt, no one knew who he was. They didn't know what he was, where he came from. When he was a slave, he wasn't known. When he was in the dungeon, he wasn't known. And even when he became the Melech Mitzrayim, the king of Egypt, no one knew who he was, where he was from, his family. All they knew that he was an Everus, a slave that was bought for Esrim Kesef, for 20 pieces of silver. Even when he ruled over Egypt, he was concealed from his father and his brother for 22 years. His trials and tribulations were also derech seser, were also in a concealed manner. All of the great tribulations that he went through, this was all on his own, between he and himself. Be it in the dungeon of the house of Potiphar, or with the wife of Potiphar, or as the king of Egypt. Because he was a loner there. He was alone. And he was Mekadish Shem Shemayim B'Seisher. He sanctified the Almighty's name in this way. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded him accordingly. He gave him a letter. He gave him a letter in his name, which also was not a clear revelation. It was concealed in his name. He added a hey in the middle of his name. And also we find, interestingly, in the campsite of Yosef, Degel Machne Ephraim, Umanashe Ubinyamin. It was Degel Shlishi. They marched third. Third is in the center. Wasn't in the beginning, in the front, it wasn't in the end. It was concealed in the middle. This was the nature of Yosef. This was the nature of his life. And he sanctified HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name accordingly, and he was rewarded accordingly. We also find that Yosef was referred to as a Shemer Yisrael, a guardian of Israel. We consistently find that it was his task to guard Klal Yisrael from all danger and tumah and impurity from outside. For example, one of the first great deeds that Yosef did as a child, when Yaakov was coming back from the house of Lavan, and he was meeting Esav, who had come with 400 men to make war against him. And it was a very, very tense, dangerous moment. Yaakov prepared himself for a lavish gift, Lederen, Litfila. He was Mispalot HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he prepared himself L'Mochoma for war and Hatzola and flight. And he lined up all of his whole family, his wives and children, to meet Esav. And the wives stood in front of their children. When the confrontation came, and Esav came to meet Rachel, Yosef, who was very tall, he was young but very tall, stood in between them, got up to his great height, and stood in between them, and wouldn't let Esav look at his mother Rachel. Now this was a situation which could have cost him his life. Esav was no man to fool with. But he refused to let Esav look at his mother. Esav eino roma yespoi. Esav has an evil eye. And he didn't want him to cast that evil eye to his mother Rachel. So from his youth he was already used to being a shamer Yisrael, to guard the Kiddush of Yisrael. And we see that he did this in Mitzrayim in Egypt. From all of the impurities of Egypt, he guarded himself. No matter where he was, if he was in the house of Potiphar, or in the dungeon, or in the court of Pharaoh, becoming from the royal great sovereigns of the world, with tremendous wealth, v'yesef hoyo b'mitzrayim, Yosef om de Bitzitkre. The same Yosef that studied Torah by Yaakov Avinu was the Yosef in Egypt. He didn't change. He guarded himself that no impurity from outside, from Egypt, could come and affect him. And he guarded his sons. Ephraim and Manasseh. Kiruvim v'shimin t'yuli. Yaakov said they're equal to the Shvotim. They're equal to my sons. And they were brought up in the midst of all of the impurities of Egypt. And later on he became the guardian of the house of Yaakov. Vanochi Achalkel. He sustained the entire house of Yaakov in Egypt. And he took care of them. And it states, Vayomos Yosef, Vayokom Melechotosh. As long as Yosef lived, so there were no tzoras and decrees on the children, only after his death. And this is for the same reason. Because a person who is of a nature to be a tzonua, to be a type of a concealed person, private person, he stands in perfection and purity, and he places a wall between himself and all enemies, a wall of protection between himself and all enemies, between himself and all exterior dangers. So this was the quality of Yosef. Now this we find in Mordechai and Esther. By Mordechai and Esther we find that their way was that Beseser, very secretive, very concealed. The king didn't know who she was, where she came from. Lehigid Le Mordechai Mahulot. She never revealed to the king who Mordechai was. She also, just as Yosef, had tremendous nishenes, tremendous temptations and tribulations in the house of Ahasuerus, just like Yosef had in the house of Pharaoh. She was elevated to royalty. She was elevated to unparalleled power and unparalleled wealth, and constantly had tremendous temptations to leave the way that she was taught by Mordechai. She was kitz shem shamayim. She didn't. The Gemara says that she remained pure. The Gemara says lama nikra shma hadaso. The Gemara brings in the Gemara Megillah Yud Gimel Amar Aleph, Loma Nikro Shma Hadaso. Why was her name called Hadaso? Hadaso is the name of a beautiful plant. Al Shem Hadaso Bein Hametzula. Gemara brings a pasuk from Zechariah Aleph, pasuk Ches, Hadasim Bein Hametzula, the Hadasim that stand right in the middle of the deep waters. Hadasa Hatzadikim Nikro Al Shem Hadasim, the Gemara says. Because this is a tzaddik. What is a tzaddik? Tzaddik is not like we think, someone who divorces himself from the world, divorces himself from all reality, and becomes a tzaddik. There are certain religions that do that. You go to the Himalayas, you go to the high mountains that's divorced from the entire world, and there you'll find places of refuge, retreats, spiritual retreats. That's not a tzaddik, not in the eyes of the Torah. Lomo nikroim atzadikim hadasim. Why are the tzadikim called hadasus? Because the hadasim, this beautiful plant, does not grow in a vacuum, does not grow in a hothouse of controlled temperature. It grows in the world, bein hametzulim, right amongst the depths of the waters, where it's totally surrounded and endangered and challenged by waters, and still it grows straight and beautiful. This is a tzaddik. A tzaddik is someone who lives in the world, and he lives amongst people, and he's constantly challenged, and still he grows straight and beautiful. This is why the tzaddikim are called hadasim. So lama nikro shma hadasa. Why is Esther called Hadassah? Because she was a tzaddikis. She didn't become the tzaddikis on the top of the Himalayas. She became the tzaddikis in the house of Ahasuerus. Just like Yosef hanikro tzaddik, Yosef was called Yosef Tzidkayo, who became a tzaddik, not in the middle of some desert, but in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, in the house of Potiphar, in the dungeon in the house of Pare. So was Esther. So we see also alone. She constantly challenged alone, and constantly being Mekadesh Shev Shomayim B'Seser, where she sanctified HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name secretly. And the miracle was B'Seser. The miracle which took place in Purim was totally concealed. It wasn't like Mitzrayim, the Yetzias Mitzrayim, where Moshe and Aaron were called upon to execute Eser Makos, 10 supernatural wonders which destroyed Egypt, or the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, which were Nisim Gluim, miracles which were revealed. No, there were no supernatural miracles in the entire Megillah. Everything was concealed by the Teva, by nature. So the miracle also was totally concealed. And not like in Egypt, where they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu. First they said, even the people of Pare said, Etzpe Elokim, it is the finger of Hashem. And then they said, Yod Chazok, Uzrei Netuyo, they saw his hand and they saw his arm. And then they said, Zekeli V'Anvehu, this is my God. Nobody could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the story of Purim. He did not reveal his name at all in the story of Purim or in the Megillah. And Mordechai and Esther played the same role as Yosef, where they were the Shemrim Yisrael. They guarded Yisrael. They guarded Yisrael from the danger of Haman, and they guarded Yisrael from the tumah, from the impurities of Ahasuerus. They stood at the helm as the guardians. That no matter, they were totally surrounded by dangerous, not only totally surrounded, they were in the midst of the danger. Like the Hadassim, Bein HaMetzula, like the Hadassim in the depths of the water, but still they protected Klal Yisrael. So this was the derech of Yosef and the way of Binyamin, and this went into Mordechai and Esther. The quality of Yehuda we find is different. Gemara tells us, Yehuda kitzur shem shemayim befarheshu. Yehuda went and he sanctified Hashem's name publicly. Lekach kula nikra, kula shem nikra al shmei. His whole name has the letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does this mean? Yehuda was the son of Leah. Leah was not called the Tzenua, the inward one, the withdrawn one, the secretive one, but to the contrary. It states, Vayetze Leah Likras. Leah went out to meet Yaakov. When it came time for a mitzvah, Leah went out to Yaakov. And she was referred to as the Etzonius, the one that goes out. When she gave birth to Yehuda, why did she name him Yehuda? The Torah tells us in Vayetze Choftes Lamed Hei, Hapam Azeis Ode Es Hashem. This time I shall praise Hashem. Praise is not done secretly. Hodah. Hodah is berabim. Hodah is public. The fact is, the Gemara says, Srichin li haidais bifnei asora. To make a haidah properly, it must be bifarheshe. It must be publicly, with 10 people. This is why Birchas Agomel, when we bench Gomel, and the Birchas Agomel comes from the Korban Teidor, Arba Tzrichin Lahaydes, that when a miracle happens to us and we have to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a condition, it must be done publicly, because Haydor is publicly to praise, and there must be a minion. So we see that the very name of Yehuda comes, is built on a public act. Hapam Odes Hashem, now I shall praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he has given me a fourth child. They have said that he has given me more than my share, because she knew there would be four wives and 12 children. When she gave birth to Yehuda, now I have Yosef Mechelki, more than my share. Hapam Eides Hashem, now I shall praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Al-Kain. Therefore, his name was called Yehuda, from the word praise, public praise, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu publicly. And we see this was his style. This was his nature. When they came to the sea, and this was in the eyes of Kol Yisrael, all of Israel was standing by the sea, and all of Egypt was by the sea. Kof atz nachshein ben amidodov, amid nachshein jumptin, and he cried out, Hashem yimloch le'alom v'ed. Nobody wanted to jump in because the waters were raging. The waters did not split. They were raging, and he jumped down and he said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should reign forever. He publicly declared this. This was Yehuda's nature. Yehuda kiddush shem shemayim v'fareshu. There's another medrash. There's a medrash in Shmos, Aleph, Sivhei, where the medrash says, why was he called Yehuda? Not al shem hodah, not because he praised, but al shem shehoda, because he admitted. This refers to the case of Tamar. When he was told that Tamar, who was his daughter-in-law, has become pregnant. And he said, take her and let her be burnt. He was the shofet, the judge. Because she's an adulteress. And he didn't know that it was from him. And later on, when she gave him the signs, his ring and his staff, and his garment, and there he was faced with a very, very great decision. He can become silent. He can be silent. And then she'll be put to death. If he admits, he destroys himself. Because he was destined to be the king of Israel. From him would come David HaMelech, and Shlomo HaMelech, and the Melech HaMashiach. And if scandal would reach his name, then it would be finished. So he had many cheshbonos, many calculations to make. Let her be destroyed. She was a yesoma, she was an orphaness, she wasn't an important person. And let the kingdom of Israel be saved, or admit to the truth and destroy himself. And he said, Sotka mimeni, she is righteous, do not kill her. I am the guilty one. They are for me. He thought he was destroying himself. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that's why you're called Yehuda. Al Shem Shehodo. Because publicly you admitted to what is right and wrong. What does that have to do with the name Yehuda? Because Yehuda means to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to praise the one whose letters are in your name. The greatest praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to submit oneself to the sovereignty of his Torah. This is the greatest praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of your other calculations, that she is not important and you're important, and from you will come Dovid HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech and Melech HaMashiach and so forth, you set them all aside. You were governed and disciplined only by my Torah. Tzotko mimeni, in the eyes of the Torah, she is righteous, I am the guilty one. What greater praise than there can there be to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When someone sets aside all calculations in the world and submits only to the law and the righteousness of the Torah. And therefore Yehuda was called Yehuda, because it was destined that publicly, this was publicly Shehodu, he would admit. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded him for this. He didn't give him one letter in his name where Hashem's name should be concealed, but all of the letters of his name, the Yud and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey, he placed into Yehuda's name, which showed the tremendous closeness that Yehuda had to Hashem, where he constantly praises him publicly, constantly submits to him publicly. And the Gemara says, through this, he was Zochel Memsholo. Hoyesa Yehuda Lekotshei V'Yisrael Mamsholeisov. He was Zochel to be a king. A king is public. A king is not concealed in the nation. A king is the public leader. Achad Sheba'am. The king is the most public person there is. He's the singular person of the nation. Because you praise me publicly and you submitted to me publicly, you shall become the public figure of Memshola. You shall be the sovereign. And we find that the campsite of Yehuda was Rishena. Rishena Yisrael. tribe of Yehuda shall march first. This is the most public place, the one that goes first. And B'Mizrach, because B'Mizrach is Kedma, Kedumei Shalelam, that's the front of the world, the east. This is your place. And we find also that Yosef was a king, but of a different nature of a king. He was a king which was concealed. He was a king in Egypt, lost from his brothers. And his task that he undertook was to guard, to make a wall around Israel to protect them from their enemies on the outside. Yehuda was a different type of king. Yehuda was a king that would go forth to conquer, not merely to protect conquerors from coming in, but Yehuda would go forth to conquer enemies even on the outside. This was the type of king Yehuda was. He would go forth to conquer the world. Incidentally, we find that when Yaakov came down to Egypt, before he came to Egypt, he wanted to make sure everything was good. He sent Yehuda down first, Lahayres, to prepare the way. Yehuda was the conqueror. And this is why he was called an Ari, a lion. A lion is not a secretive animal. It's not a concealed animal. The lion goes forth to conquer. And in Parshas Vayechi, Parshas Vayechi, Mem Ches Posu Ches, when Yaakov benched Yehuda, he said, Yehuda ato yeducha achecho. Yehuda, you are known to your brothers. You are known. You are not concealed. Everything about you is known. Yotcha be'eref evecho. Your hands will be at the back of the necks of your enemies. What does that mean, the sages say? You will be pursuing your enemies. You will be chasing them. And they will turn and run. You will strike them from the back because they will always be running away from you. Why will they be running from you? Because you will be pursuing them. Gur Aryeh Yehuda. You will be lions. Lo yosr shevet mi Yehuda mechekik mi bein ratlov. And the staff, you shall be a king. You shall be a shevet. You shall not only be a king that protects Israel, you will be a king that will bring judgment to the world. Lo yosr shevet. Lo yosr shevet mi Yehuda, the staff of judgment, shall never be lost from your hand. These were the qualities of Yehuda. Now this quality we also find here in by Mordechai and Esther and in the Megillah. Why? Even though the miracle was derech nister, it was concealed, but we find that it became revealed to the whole world. For example, the Megillah writes in Perches Yud Zayin Ubechol Medino Bedino Ubechol Yivir Mokam Asher Dvar HaMelech V'dosoy Magia Simcha V'sosin LaYehudim Mishte V'yom Tev. That the Simcha went out throughout the entire world. V'Rabi Me'ame Oretz Mishadim. Many of the nations of the world became Jews. Ki nofal pachar ha-yehudim aleihem. Because the fear of the Jews fell on them. It was not a concealed miracle that remained concealed. Throughout all of the 127 Medinas of Achashverosh, Rabbi Me'ameores Bishadi, many nations of the world, many families of the world became Jews. Ki nofal pachad ha-yehudim aleihem, because the fear of the Yehudim fell upon them. The Megillah tells us in Perek Tes, Posuk Beis, Mikalu ha-Yehudim bo'areim b'chol medinas ha-melech ha-chashverish lishloch yod b'makshvei v'rosvam. The Jews gathered up in all of the cities of the Medinas of Achashverosh to protect themselves. The ish le omad bifneihem. Not one man stood up against them. Ki nofal pachdom al kol ha'amim. Because the fear of the Jews fell upon all of the nations. The chol sori ha-medinas v'achashdar penim v'ha-pachais v'esem loch ha-shel ha-melech menasim es ha-yehudim. And all of the nations of the king elevated the Jews. Ki nofal pachad Mordechai aleihem. Because the fear of Mordechai became known throughout the whole world and fell upon them. Ki godol Mordechai beveis hamelech. Mordechai became great in the house of the king. Vishomai heilich bechol ha-medinas. His reputation went out into the entire world. Ki o'ish Mordechai holech v'godol. V'godol. And Mordechai, this person Mordechai, grew greater and greater. So we see that even though the miracle started to be a very secret and closed miracle, but in the end it was revealed not only to those around it, but Nofel Pachad, Pachad, the fear of Mordechai fell upon the entire world. And the same thing we find by Yisrael. In Perek Yud, Posuk Chof Ches, it states, Vayomim ha'elen nishkorim nasim b'chol dor v'dor. These days shall be remembered and fulfilled in every generation, mishpocho, mishpocho, medino, medino, in every family and in every nation, year by year in every city. V'mei ha'purim ha'ele la'yavru mitecha yehudim. And the days of Purim will never stop from the Yehudim. V'zichrom la'yosuv mizarum. And the remembrance will never be forgotten for the seed. Even though it began derech seser in a secretive manner, but it became mefursum, it became public throughout the entire world, the strength of the Jews and the greatness of the miracles and the fear of the Jews and the fear of Mordechai to the entire world and to the Jewish people forever. And then we find also both of these dimensions, that this was not only a Hatzolah, not only Yeshua, but it was also Nahapech, it was a Kfisha. Not only was there a salvation from Haman and Achashverosh, but to the contrary, V'Napechu, it was completely turned over. It became a total conquest of Haman and Achashverosh by the Jews. For example, the Megillah tells us in Posuk Yud, in Perek Yud, Posuk Aleph, Vayosemam v'chol Posuk Beis v'chol maasei sokpei ugvurosei, in all the great and strong deeds of Mordechai, ufrashas gedulas Mordechai ashegidla amelech, which the king elevated. Alehim ksuvim al sefer divrei ayomim lemalchei modei poras. They're all written in the history books of Malchei modei poras. Ki Mordechai yudi mishnah amelech. wasn't only a case of a Yeshua, of a Hatzolah, of a salvation of Klal Yisrael, when no longer the enemy, Haman and Amalek, were present. But Mordechai became Mishnah LeMelech Achashverosh. He became the viceroy to the Gemara brings that Achashverosh was Molach Misefer Edom Atsefer. He ruled one end of the world to the other. Mordechai became Mishnah LeMelech, the viceroy. Godel LaYehudim. He became great to all of the Jews. Rotzi L'Reivechov. And he became close and accepted to Reiv Evchor, to his many brethren. So we see that not only was it a salvation, but also it was an entire conquest. Why was this? Because Mordechai and Esther not only had the keches, not only did they have the sources of Yosef and Binyamin, but also the sources of Yehuda. This is what the Medrash tells us. Excuse me, the Gemara in Megillah and the Medrash, that it states, Ishuhudi Hoya Beshushan Habira, there was a Jew from Yehuda that was in Shushan Habira, Ushmoy Mordechai Ben Yoyer Ben Kish, Ishimini, and he was from the tribe of Binyamin. The Gemara says, Kori Le Yehuda V'Kori Le Binyamin. You say he's from Yehuda and you say he's from Binyamin. So one says he was both. His mother was from Yehuda and his father was from Binyamin. Another opinion is, Mishpochis Mishgaris Ebezeh. He was really from Binyamin. But Yehuda took credit for him, because there was an ancestor of his, that David, who was the descendant of Yehuda, should have killed, and he didn't. And therefore they took credit for Mordechai. And Binyamin takes credit for Mordechai, because he came from us. Rabbi Yechanan Omar. Rabbi Yechanan says no, he was from Binyamin. So then why was he called Yehuda? Shekol HaKefer Ba'Aveir Zora. Whoever denies Aveir Zora publicly, like Mordechai did, this was a public Haidor, that in front of Ambe Eidor, all of the nations, he denied Aveir Zora idolatry. This was a public admission to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shekol HaKefer Ba'Aveir Zora V'Yachid Shmei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he gives oneness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone. Nikra Yehuda is called Yehuda, because this was Yehuda's task. Yehuda, that all of the letters that were in his name was Hashem, Apam, Eides, Hashem, he praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu publicly. So Mordechai and Esther had both of these tremendous forces in them. And therefore it was the quality of Yosef and Binyamin, Yosef Shekidesh Hashem Shomayim B'Seser, Yosef that sanctified his entire life the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu inwardly, quietly, secretly, Haysif HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eisachas B'Shmai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu concealed one letter of his name in Yosef's name. Yehuda Shekidesh Hashem Shomayim B'Farheshe Yehuda, who all of his life sanctified HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name publicly, Nase Kula Shmai Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His name was made up of all the letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Both of these qualities were in Mordechai and Esther, and therefore we find both in Purim, that it was both inwardly. It was a Shmira. They were the guardians of Klal Yisrael. It was Derech Seser. It was secretly. And at the same time, it became very public, Veshmei Heilich L'chol Amim, that his name, Mordechai's name, and the pachad of the Jews went out to the entire world, where it will never be forgotten. Many of the nations were Mishadim. And not only did it become a Shmira, a Yeshua for Klal Yisrael, but it became a total conquest where the Na'apeich, it was just completely overturned, where Mordechai and Esther were elevated to enormous power in the entire, together with the Jews in the entire world. We should be zeicher to a freilicher Purim and to see both Yeshua is in Israel and the Na'apeich, where we will see the conquest of Klal Yisrael over all of the enemies of Hashem and Torah in the world. B'mheirah v'yomeinu.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.